Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Swolecast. Listen, we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Free agency has just been going nuts, and no one's really talking about the fantasy implications of this and what offenses we're really liking. So that's what we're going to dig into on today's show. A lot of people are on spring break, and we got you covered for that long trip to the beach. Just stick around. It's the Swolecast here at RotoGrinders.com.
You came to Static from the Swolecast? I was like, yep, that's me.
I just want you guys to know I'm total dust. I'm the problem.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Give it to the guy with the crypto dunes, Abby, to not understand content.
I should have known you getting 30 likes was directly written by someone else.
You know me, I don't do a ton of research before the show.
I've put no research into this, don't know if it's true at all.
You're on the right show.
To it, bro, live a little.
Live a little. Just live a little, guys.
All right, welcome in. Tuttle is grinding mid-major conference.
Someone's got to do it.
I don't know. He said someone can fill in for me, which was basically him saying I'm not going to be on today's show. So I don't know why he wouldn't want to be on today's show. There's a lot to talk about, and just want to get it out of the way. Hear ye, is Derrick Henry a Titan? Quoth the Raven, nevermore. So I'm sad. I'm sad, but also not shocked. And wish him well. I was shocked about Tony Pollard, which we could talk about in a second. But you know, when I
honest,
was
on, will you be rooting for him? Yeah. Will you be rooting for Henry as a Raven?
100%.
Okay.
And I know that kind of goes against the Titans ethos, but that's how much I love the man.
I mean, are you still going to be a Titans fan, like Titans versus Ravens?
First
round of the playoffs.
I'm still going to be cheering for the Titans, Davis. Not everyone's like you that just jump ship whenever they're, you know,
So I've been thinking about this recently, you know, because
sticking
time
to
waits.
One team?
Well, no, time just waits for no man, you know. Patrick Mahomes is going to be 29 this season. There will be a time in my life where the Kansas City Chiefs exist without Patrick Mahomes, and will
that's
I love
Patriots fans
that? So like, I like unironically, I'm like, if I was in Rudman's position, would I still be a Patriots fan? And I don't honestly do not have the answer to that question. I don't know. I feel like it would be so hard to know.
That's why Rudman is so much more true of a fan. He's out here posting mock drafts into the sixth rounds of guys he wants the Patriots.
Rudman is like, he's like responding to like everything, being like, dude, I hope we don't give Jacoby Brissett too much money. Like he like
that's a real
it's
fan.
True. It's true. He's a real fan. Yeah.
As far as like free agency moves, like has every season kind of been like this? Because it feels like this season has been different with like skill position players, especially the running back class.
It's a combination of a really good wide receiver draft class and a really bad running back draft class. So it's like in terms of like us fantasy guys, it's going to be like an optimal amount of movement. And there's, you know, all the quarterback stuff and we got Kirk Cousins to the new team. And one of the PFF guys tweeted this yesterday that like of their top 101 free agents, I think as of right now, there's only 31 that don't have a contract right now. So it was like a ridiculous amount of player movement in the first 48 hours. It's not an exaggeration.
Go ahead.
It just feels like a unique year, I think, specifically because of the running backs and both like the dynamics of all of these formerly great running backs kind of like aging out of their contracts and basically the league playing musical chairs with them. Like none of these guys are coming off of really massive efficient seasons. And they're like, hey, what if Joe Mixon on the Texans is better than Joe Mixon on the Bengals? And they've just all shifted teams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just get, and also people that are watching, we appreciate you. Again, we're breaking it down. We're getting hands in the dirt here and giving you what you want. And that is just from a fantasy perspective. Lots of free agency talk out there, but no one's really digging into the fantasy implications of this. And so that's
people are saying that they're wondering like, you know, all we're getting is sort of, you know,
I get it. Schefter.
Right. Yeah, it's like Warren Sharp tweeting about how the Chargers have this terrible cap situation, but like what we need is a guy whose best finish is 12th place in the Puppy 67 to tell us how many fantasy points Antonio Gibson is going to score as a Patriot.
Yeah, so hit that like button, subscribe. You know, we're on the road to 10K this year. It's going to happen. I do want to. You brought up Warren Sharp. I want to know, does he have like interns tweeting for him?
Doing his tweets. I don't think so.
My guess would be he actually writes and press send on his tweet, but has people who help like workshop research.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Because this did kind of, I was just like, okay, Warren Sharp, he's, you know, Sharp football, but he posted this thing after the Titans signed Pollard. And it was the Titans faced the number three most loaded boxes last year versus loaded boxes last year behind a better offensive line. Pollard averaged just 3.6 yards per carry, 34% success. And it's just like, okay, I wonder what has changed from last year to this year as far as loaded boxes are concerned. Like there's a reason why they loaded boxes last year.
Yes, there might be some.
I mean, that's kind of people who object to Warren's work. I'm not saying I am one of them, but if the criticism of Warren's work is that he is definitely a fan of finding a statistic and using it as a nugget, just irrespective of the context in which those numbers are generated. Yeah. Right?
Overfitting and small sample sizes to point to a trend that probably doesn't exist.
That would be the criticism. Not saying I am levying that criticism, but just saying that is the criticism that people.
I love just how PC you are right now, Davis.
Well, yes, Warren is.
See about this.
Warren is what he is, and honestly, I'm
not saying I am, but if I was,
well, truly, I am jealous.
Shows how much we all love Reeves.
Warren is the Rex Chapman of fantasy football. Warren has perfected the ability to be like he is the viral account.
That might be a slam. That might be a slam.
I would trade places with Warren right now, buddy.
Of course you would. Don't let your wife hear you talk about that like that. But Rex Chapman's like got in trouble for stealing people's tweet, like quote tweets and everything else. That's not what Warren does. So I
know Warren mostly does the original shit. But I mean, I don't know anything about Rex Chapman.
I just want to know if you thought someone was running it like a, I guess we could say a Warren intern.
Yeah, he definitely has like research people, like 100%. Yeah.
I think he, like, when I read his tweets and, like, I've seen his clips and his shows and stuff before, like, I read his tweets in his voice. Like, it feels
for
like
sure
our Warren tweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Warren
is a Sports Grid partner, buddy. He comes on. He comes on Pharrell Coast to Coast every Thursday.
Now we understand.
Corporate Can we get a segment that's like Matic versus Sharp debunking overfitted trends?
Well, we could. He's been on the Take Cast too. Warren, he's a grind. Warren is a grinder, like way more than I ever have been.
Of course he is.
He's like
he likes engagement.
We can put this as a clip though, Sosa. If you want to make a mark, Tony Pollard, more fantasy points in 2024 as a member of the Tennessee Titans than Tajay Spears, and more fantasy points than he scored in 2023 as a shitty member of the shitty Dallas Cowboys. I think he's legit gonna be good.
Okay, let's save this for in a second because we're about to get into it, Davis. You kind of overstepped your bounds because now we have to get into the Overzets overview.
He's got that dog in him. What? He's got that dog in him. What? Overzets overview. Come on.
The Swolecast right now is like a paycheck at a shitty job. We show up every 2 weeks, but never amount to as much as you deserve. Mr. Tuttle 05 is once again abstaining from the show because he skimmed less free agency headlines than the rest of us. I mean, come on, Tuttle. If Kitchen gets to do zero prep for the show and still skirt by, you can as well. I'd like to imagine if Tuttle was here, he would like float a take like, Emmanuel Wilson is still the running back to own in Green Bay or something like that. We miss you, Tuttle. We do have lots of free agency fallout to get to today. Let's wind way back. After the Browns traded for a man Steve Smith once massacred on national television, Kitchen has vowed to increase his Deshaun Watson exposure this year from 96%. To 100%.
I did not.
One Deshaun Watson in every draft is Kitchen's motto this year. But the real win for our very own David Kitchen came when the Titans swapped out Derrick Henry for a guy whose agent pays PFF absurd amounts of money, Tony Pollard.
Did you know Tony Pollard was PFF's number one graded running back from week 11 on?
Kitchen promptly took to X.com where he spoke directly to Pollard in a post asking Tony if there's anything he can do to help this offseason. It got 14 likes, which is honestly pretty decent. Kitchen adjusted numbers. But yes, David, there is something you can do, and that's grip Eric Decker's hand extra tight in the prayer circle this week and ask Tajay Spears to save you guys from your sins. Team Tajay Spears forever and always. In other news, I might have to take the L on Justin Fields. All right. I laughed at Davis 2 weeks ago when he said Fields might not be a starter next year. But look, in Davis fashion, I'm not going down without a fight. Let me workshop a take right now.
Okay.
Seriously, no one wants Justin Fields. It's
not one team.
It's almost suspiciously absent of interest. It feels awfully like the Lamar Jackson blackball.
No. Wow. This is,
which means
this is take
Fields is destined to win the MVP. How's that for a take right there?
I mean, that right there, Peter, that was just like watching a master at work. I mean, that there is, that is,
he's being blackballed.
Justin Fields, 10-28 as an NFL starter, has been blackballed.
Yeah, another. Also, a quarterback who's been accused of only being a running back. I mean, the parallels abound. One of the most intriguing nuggets from free agency was the Jets surrounding Aaron Rodgers with even more talent. And two wide receiver sets, Garrett Wilson will now be flanked by RFK Jr. That's a great one, too, right up there with Tyreek and Waddle.
I got it.
Aaron Rodgers' new running mate. Kirk Cousins is now the QB for the Falcons, so we're all going to go broke on Kyle Pitts again and have the time of our life doing so. Back to you, Dave.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Before I forget, Dave, can I read a tweet that has had I mean, this tweet is my Roman Empire right now.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. This is from Jason Moore of the Fantasy Footballers. As of right now, it's got 3.2 million views on Twitter.com and over 700 responses and quote tweets. If I'm the Bears, I draft Caleb Williams and put him on the bench. Go win a bunch of games with Justin Fields, which they would, to highlight his ability and let Williams get that valuable redshirt season. They then could get a valuable trade for Fields next offseason. I have been unable to stop thinking about this tweet since I read it. It's got the most... I mean, it's like suppositions on suppositions on suppositions. It's really incredible.
Listen, this is why Jason does not need to be a GM. Love the guy.
Like the guy who's 10-28 as an NFL starter can't fetch a day two pick right now, would then turn everything around, win enough games to then justify getting the number one overall pick. To get whatever pick it would be for Justin Fields. It's incredible. Like, Justin Fields has done like no evidence at the NFL level that this guy can be a winning quarterback. And we're still doing, it's incredible.
That's, I mean, Davis, we don't have to go down this road again because we've already talked about Fields and there's so much more to talk about, but the guy's got talent.
It's the most important story in the NFL, though, what the Bears do with the number one overall pick in terms of both fantasy and real whatever ends up happening, because Caleb Williams is a generational once every 5 years level of quarterback prospect. And people are saying that the Bears should not take him and they should keep this guy who gets sacked 12% of the time.
We need a new term. What's a fraction of a generation? Because it's not even that I think people are misusing it. I just don't think there's a better word.
There's not a good word.
Summarize a guy who's like the best in the past 3 to 4 years.
Yeah. It's like half decade ish.
Yeah. It just doesn't have a good ring to it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
a presidential term level.
Presidential term. That is really good. Yeah.
But what's Fourscore? How much is Fourscore?
80 years, Kitchen?
Is it?
Isn't Score 20? Is? Fourscore?
I forgot.
Fourscore.
And 7 years ago.
What is Fourscore?
Yeah.
Fourscore is 20. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So half a score?
A
fourth of a score.
A fourth of a score prospect? Yeah, that rolls off the tongue.
Sosa, put up these questions about Hollywood Brown on the chat. I'll just go ahead and answer them real quick. So Hollywood Brown's probably not going to be a Chief because the Chiefs want their outside wide... No. The Chiefs want their outside wide receivers to be big so that they can block. They don't. They prefer guys, MBS, Justin Watson, Justin Ross. They don't like their perimeter guys to be smaller. Doesn't mean that if Hollywood Brown like has no market and is like, I'll do 2 years, $17.5 million. Like if he signs like the DeAndre Swift contract, but at running back, maybe they would do it. But I think it's unlikely.
All right. Let's just start. We'll get into running backs in a second, but just quarterbacks real quick. Guys that are on the up and up. Let's start with out of Cleveland, Deshaun Watson.
That's where you want to start? It's like the worst place to start. He's not on the up and up. Yeah, you lead with Kirk Cousins.
He's on Deshaun Watson is on the down and down, if anything. No, like if I had to say.
He now has Jerry Jeudy, Amari Cooper, and then let's just throw in Elijah Moore in 3 wide receiver sets.
Do you know where Deshaun Watson is going in drafts right now? He's like QB 22. He's like the
don't
last
tell
place
me that
start.
Because I'm trying to stay out of the streets until after the draft. If he's going sure QB really 22,
he's going after Drake May and Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford and Jaden Daniels.
He's going he's after Robert Kennedy's Jr. Vice President. Man, people
this is
don't
steal. Okay, let's switch to Bryce Young.
Hey, God, Kitchen, let me unpack this one second. You think that them just like making the most marginal of upgrades on Elijah Moore is going to turn Deshaun Watson into a
Elijah Moore now is a big upgrade over like Cedric Tillman or David is Bell. He? Yeah. You saw what Flacco did last year with the team.
It's Stefanski, though. They're still going to play mostly 12 personnel. They're still going to, not mostly, but a lot of 12 personnel.
I will say I'll have a lot. I'll have a lot of Watson this year.
We know. We know.
All right. Bryce Young, though, because we do have to talk about.
I got a good guy who's going 50 picks after.
Everybody's talking about Watson. Cousins. Maybe I should have had JJ on this.
I want to talk real quick about Bryce Young. I have research on this.
Because they spent a ton of money on offensive line.
They did. They added two guards for like a combined $105 million. They did. I did see that one of these two guards is the shortest starting guard in the NFL, so that at least Bryce Young can see over them. They also traded a late round pick and a cornerback for Diontae Johnson. Now, I will give you guys some information. I'm going to have you guess. So in the entire history of the NFL, since they started tracking targets, which I believe is 1986, there are 164 players who played a minimum of five seasons at wide receiver and registered 600 or more targets, right? So 164 players, 600 targets.
Okay. All right.
Of those players, where do you think Diontae Johnson ranks in terms of yards per target?
Since they started tracking?
Since they started tracking targets. Yeah.
I'll say bottom 1%.
Peter?
I'll say 36th to last place.
158 out of 164. 158 out of 164. NFL history with 600 targets or more.
There's only been 164 players with 600 targets or more.
I mean, maybe I didn't expand this search on Stathead correctly. Oh, I can run it again. Here, I'll run it again.
Like, that doesn't seem like a lot for a multi-decade. A couple scores, if you will.
Two scores. All right.
No, I'm pretty sure this is right.
Okay. I'm not saying you're wrong. It just seems shocking to me that there would only be 164 wide receivers who have crested that number.
Well, you had to have played. So you had to have played the five. No, this is right. I can post the link in the chat. This is right.
And you're saying targets?
Yes. So you, I mean, how many guys in the NFL get to 600 targets? That's a lot of targets.
Yeah. I mean,
here, I will. Here.
It's also crazy because Diontae Johnson's only 27. It's not like he's been in the league forever. He's been in the league for five years.
Here, Peter, I just posted the Stathead link in our private chat. It won't let me put it in the actual chat. Check my work.
All right.
If you guys are in the Deposit Kingdom Discord, I'll post the Stathead link in the Swolecast channel.
Subscribe to Stathead Football for full results. Get your first month free.
I'm very certain I did this correctly.
I believe you. I'm more stunned. I'm stunned.
All right.
I'm glad we went on that journey.
Yes, that was worth it. You got Thielen, Diontae Johnson, and now Jonathan Mingo. And a better offensive line.
Who's stopping this team? Who's stopping a team of Jonathan Mingo, Adam Thielen, Diontae Johnson, and Miles Sanders?
Name a better trio. I'll wait.
So you guys don't like Bryce Young this year?
We just don't know. You know, we really just don't know, Dave. Bryce Young could be this year's CJ Stroud, people are saying.
We're trying to maintain viewers at the 20-minute mark. And Davis is like listing off archaic stats, and Kitchen wants to talk about the guy going off the board, the 205th guy going off the board in underdog drafts right now, Bryce Young.
This is what people want.
Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones.
Let's talk about Kirk Cousins. What do you guys like about Kirk Cousins?
Who's stopping this trio? Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Bijan Robinson.
Rumor on the street is Drake London sneaking his way into the back end of second round of some drafts and I can't even really complain with it that much.
What if this is Corain's line that I'm stealing from him? What if Drake London is just Michael Pittman Jr. with a better publicist?
Well, then he would also have had to have been a much better prospect, gone way earlier in the NFL draft, and done way more with a worse quarterback situation. Suck it, Corain.
Yeah, I am. I think Drake London is probably very good. I don't think he's like a 1-2 turn top 20 wide receiver style pick. Like Marvin Harrison Jr. at the Arizona Cardinals or Drake London with Kirk Cousins. What do you think?
Well, that's my whole thing. It's more that it's such a flat tier. Like DJ Moore goes off. You mentioned Marvin Harrison. Then you're looking at Devontae Adams, a couple of great San Francisco wide receivers, in which case there's a clear winner. Rashi Rice, Diggs, Olave. Like London belongs in that company at the 2-3 turn.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Deebo Samuel changing his number to number one? What are your
compensation for being the number two wide receiver on the Niners?
I feel like Deebo changing his number to number one might actually be what's needed to ascend him to the number one player in fantasy football, because it adds about 5% of efficiency to you, as we saw with Jerick McKinnon.
Put your money where your mouth is and start taking him ahead of CMC in drafts, Davis.
I'm taking him ahead of Marvin Harrison in drafts on underdog.com.
All that's right.
Last, before we go to running back, Russ.
On the Steelers country, let's weld.
I don't know how Kitchen did it. First, he managed to come up with a guy going later than Deshaun Watson. He said, hold my
beer. Just going running back. Hang I'm on. Going quarterbacks before then we go Bryce running backs. Young.
And then he said, can I find a conversation topic surrounding a quarterback who's going even later than Bryce Young? And he gave us Russell Wilson.
I think Russ still has something in the tank.
You didn't, Dave. You skipped over Darnold, buddy.
What about Darnold?
I thought maybe if we'd go from Deshaun Watson to, can Sam Darnold lead the Minnesota Vikings to a playoff spot in the weak NFC? You know, I thought that would kind of be on brand. I don't know. What do you think the Vikings are going to do? What do you think their plan is?
Right? They can't roll with Darnold.
So they pick at 11. So they definitely are not getting a quarterback at 11. I mean, best case scenario at 11 is your if you don't trade is Penix or Nix. So then you have to ask yourself, what is it worth to trade up to 6? Probably, and maybe not even 6 might not even get it done for JJ McCarthy. You really might not be able to do it. Like, people are so horny for this guy. I personally don't get it, but people do love
JJ there McCarthy. Are lots of quarterbacks in this draft. I think they'll go and get one. Now, he still could start over one of these rookies, but yeah, that's wild. All right, let's get to running backs. Let's play a game.
Love it.
Amazing.
I thought the stream ended for a sec.
I love it. I love it. So with the transitions. Okay, let's play a game where we close our eyes and we just list off running backs on new teams.
Sick game, dude. Sick.
Okay. I don't like it. Right. But everyone has to close their eyes.
Okay.
Your eyes are closed.
Yeah. All right. I'll start. Saquon Barkley.
What team does he play for now?
Eagles.
DeAndre Swift is a Bear.
Derrick Henry plays for the Baltimore Ravens.
Austin Eckler is a Commander.
Hey, let's go in order.
We're going in order. Tony Pollard plays for the Titans.
Eckler is a Commander.
Devin Singletary plays for the Giants.
Joe Mixon plays for the Texans.
Antonio Gibson is a Patriot.
Gus Edwards plays for the Chargers.
Aaron Jones plays for the Vikings.
Alexander Mattison doesn't play for anybody.
No. Can't.
Davis ends it.
Can't. Davis lost.
Wow.
I just wanted to dig at top 50 draft pick, Alexander Mattison.
I'll be honest. Right. I didn't have another one in the holster there.
Yeah, I didn't either, really. I think that was most of them, right? Okay, so...
Nyheim Hines calls himself the Nightmare, spelled N-Y-G-H-T, and he is now a Cleveland Brown.
Okay.
Do we mention Josh
what
Jacobs?
We wanted Duke Johnson to be on the Browns.
Do Josh we mention Jacobs? Who, David?
Yeah. Josh Jacobs. Yeah. Zach Moss to the Bengals.
Oh, Moss was the one we forgot.
Yeah, I gotta. I'm alone on fading Zach Moss Island. Everyone remembers the two. Everyone remembers the two games. He was really good for two games last year for the Colts, and then really stunk ass the back half of the season. He's getting paid $8 million, 2 years. It's like nothing.
He was like a classic fresh legs thing, and then did not have the juice after that.
I don't believe he's got no seasons with over 200 touches in the NFL, I believe.
He'll be annoying because he'll get goal line work, but I don't think he's going to be a smash. He's going to be like a poor man's Gus Edwards, right?
Yeah.
Saquon. Yeah.
I've heard of him.
To the Eagles. What are your thoughts on Saquon to the Eagles, Davis?
I mean, I think that the market is going to price him higher than I'm willing to go, of like an older running back changing teams where the targets probably aren't going to be there. There's a real question about what happens with goal line stuff. You know, I've gone back and forth on this, like, oh, Kelce is the secret to the tush push. You don't want Jalen Hurts to get tackled. He was clearly playing with this knee injury that he got from doing all the running last year. So maybe as an organization, you say, we're going to give Saquon this money and give him the goal line stuff. But at the end of the day, you would be replacing the most efficient play in football with a handoff, one of the least efficient plays in football. Like, I just think ultimately he ends up being too expensive for what I think the bottom end of his range of outcomes is.
Pete?
Yeah, I was fading him at ADP 23. Now he's already five picks higher. He's going to flip Jonathan Taylor probably in the next 24 hours, and then he's probably going to dance with Kyren at the 1-2 turn for a while, and that's just – it's too much for me. I mean, the thing, too, is, like, I think people are painting the rosiest thing of, like, we're not dropping Barkley into the Eagles team 2 years ago that went to the Super Bowl. I mean, this team looked absolutely awful. Then they lose
their second half of the season.
Yeah. I mean, the part that, you know, matters as we're projecting out for next year, then they lose a ton of talent. I don't know. It doesn't, like, I think he's going to be comparable to what he was last year in a slightly better situation, but I don't know if that warrants a 1-2 turn pick. He feels to me like, shouldn't he be going, like, I'm pretty excited about Josh Jacobs in Green Bay. With no competition, he's like a fourth round pick right now. I mean, I don't even think it's close cost adjusted who I'd want between those two.
Yeah, I think that's right.
What about Tony Pollard? Where is he going right now?
Pick 78. He's just years now. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, Dave. It's absolutely sickening to me, but I'm with you.
Seventh round for Pollard.
Yeah.
He's going to be going up to like fifth round by the time I get around drafting, I bet.
It was like the only place he could have gone that would have made me be back in on him at cost. Like it's the only team he could have gone to.
The only argument you can sell me on with Pollard is that it was all health related. Is that the argument?
That's a big argument, Peter.
That's the only argument.
Try going out
there
and running, and even I think I was listening to Pollard on Denny and Pat's Roto World show, the Super Bowl edition, and he was just talking about how much better he felt towards the end of the season. Like it takes a little while sometimes, and we've seen that. So yeah, we're gonna be living a little on Pollard this year for sure.
He's fine at that price, but he's going up.
The one thing I do not understand is the whole Tajay Spears thing. Like, I don't know if you guys know it, but he does not have an ACL in one of his knees. And so,
I mean, how many guys
last year when he was taking screen passes 80 yards to the house?
But this is what I'm saying. Maybe maybe they just don't trust him as like a feature back that's going to get like a ton of work. I don't know. Like that, it perplexed me why they would sign Pollard when they have Tajay Spears, which is like
I was never assuming in the market. If the market was assuming Tajay Spears was going to be a feature back, he would have been going at like pick 35. Like where Gibbs was going last year. But that's not the case. He was priced like they were going to add someone, and he got the best case. They added one of the dustiest dudes instead of spending a draft pick on a talented rookie who has fresh legs. Oh, like this was best case scenario for Spears.
There's no talented rookies in this running back class.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, there's one. Do you know who the one is, Dave?
Here we go. I don't.
Do you know he's only 19 years old? He's the same age as Jason Tatum.
Oh. This Braylon is Allen.
Kitchen can't even name two running backs in this class.
No. Yeah. I know but Braylon Allen's a guy you talked about last Swolecast. You talked about him in the chat.
Okay. Here's the deal with Pollard and Spears. How, Peter, in your lifetime, how many third round 200-pound running backs have flashed over six games in the back half of the season, and then we literally never heard of them again? Like, just how many?
No, but the whole point is people, like, everyone views running backs through this binary lens. Like, are you a guy who can be a bell cow back and get 20-plus carries or not? And, like, none of those backfields are like that anymore. He's priced in a range where committee backs go. Like, there's nothing wrong with his price. Nothing has changed. This price baked in a free agent signing. And I would argue he would have dropped more if they added a dustier guy.
I actually agree with the chat that Spears is probably like the better quote unquote player, but just like in the Bears backfield, I mean, DeAndre Swift and Tony Pollard got the same money.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what, like, those guys got signed to that money to get 60% of the work in that backfield. And yeah, I mean, you are going to get more 5 for 75 games from Tajay, but you're going to get 18 for 52 and a 60% chance to touchdown every week from Pollard.
How about this for a conversation? Who has more touches, Tony Pollard in 2024 or Derrick Henry in 2023?
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Henry.
One of them, by the way, led the league in attempts.
Henry in 2023.
Right. Yeah. Like, there is going to be more work available for Tajay as a year two running back with less competition.
Yeah. And I mean, we'll see if they take also a new scheme in the draft.
Yeah,
it's also a new scheme as well. Like, there, you don't have the same. You got, a more offensive-minded coach.
Well, and how about this? Like, our other poster boy that we all love. Like, what's the difference between selecting Tajay Spears at pick 80 and Jaylen Warren at pick 90? When you think about like what their projection for actual touches is and what's in their way, I think that's
not much.
Yeah.
We know, like, Brian Callahan is the new Titans head coach. And for those not, like, up to speed, he is coming from Cincinnati, where he was offensive coordinator there. We saw what he did with Joe Mixon. That's the only thing, like, I can't really shake as far as, like, not the split carries. Like, I think that Pollard is going to have a big bulk of the load.
You think they're going to use him in the passing game?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm doubtful.
I mean, But I think he's going to have more. I think if he's going in the seventh round, I think he's going to have more work than what people are assuming. All right. Let's talk about, speaking of Joe Mixon, let's talk about the Texans. Davis, if I was to pull a Matic and cheer for another team that I thought was like kind of on the up and up, it would probably be this Texans team. They just seem like they are loaded right now.
Well, Joe Mixon's a really good guy, so it definitely would be sort of, you know, you just kind of follow the good guys in the NFL around. I mean, I get that. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I'm pretty sure you switched to the Chiefs Kingdom when it was Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt. So, you know, maybe save those.
I did it because of Mahomes, man. But yes, you're right. I mean, the Chiefs have shitty guys on the Frank Clark, bad person. Tyreek, not a good guy. That is a totally fair criticism. Actually, the Frank Clark trade, just like that was a bad moment as a Chiefs fan. But here's my thing with the up and up Texans, and they did make a pretty big move yesterday. You know, talking about defensive players here on the program, they acquired Danielle Hunter. Which, obviously, this is not my point, but smarter people on Twitter are making this point, which is the Texans actually are good enough right now with C.J. Stroud. I mean, they won a playoff game last year to be like, we have this quarterback on the rookie deal. Like, we actually got to be making moves to go for it right now. Like, we got to be acquiring veterans. We got to be doing stuff. So the Joe Mixon transaction, the Danielle Hunter transaction, makes a ton of sense. I'm actually surprised that they didn't try and make a different move at tight end. I'm surprised they ran back the Dalton Schultz thing. I mean, they are going to run into the same problem that the Bills have run into, that the Bengals have run into, which is being a contender in the AFC is just not the same as being a contender in the NFC. It's so much easier to be a contender in the NFC. It feels like a very tall mountain for them to climb. And I don't even know what you do about it, really.
You say that, but like the Chiefs have done it.
I mean, that it's obviously that's the point that I'm making, which is that you gotta the king exists on one half of the bracket and not the other half of the bracket. So you would prefer to be on the kingless side of the bracket. Not that there's anything the Texans can do about it. Just
gotcha.
I would caution anyone. I would say if anyone wanted to be a bandwagon fan right now, the team that they should hop on would be the Bears. The Bears are the team that is set up to
Davis. No.
Yeah.
This is gross.
Bears over Packers?
Oh no, Packers. You're right. Packers way better. Yeah.
Bears are interesting. I wish they would have blown it up and gotten a new coach. Like it would have.
That's the issue.
That could have made it fun. Like if they would have gotten, you know, Mike McDonald or something like that, this really savvy young coach instead of the retreat.
It is going to be so funny when they win five games with Caleb and they have to fire the coaching staff again. And then they have to do, it's just, it'll be like, yeah, it is. I mean, the reason that Eberflus still being the coach is the only reason why there's any talk about Fields at all. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
I mean,
I do think the Texans are a sexy bandwagon team. Like if you had an impressionable child who was getting into the NFL right now and you lived in a state where there wasn't already a team, like I could see them loving CJ Stroud and the Texans.
Yeah. Stroud, Mixon, and then
Mixon's Nico. Not who I'm hanging my hat there. I'm going Tank.
Well, I'm just listing. I'm listing their team.
Nico, that's the order. He's like the sixth
Nico
guy.
Nico and Tank. I'm going down the depth chart. Peter,
let's go in order of importance to the team.
Okay,
David,
Laramie Tunsil, CJ Stroud.
How am I going to explain that bong mass to my new Texans fan? Yeah, yeah.
David, name a Texans defensive player, not Danielle Hunter, who I just told you.
Denico Autry, the guy who just signed from the Titans, who's going to be a big.
Name a guy who's not a Titan or has never been a Titan.
Aziz Elsherier is also was a Titan last year. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Who's got the run stopper that the Titans cut because he was such a dick?
Will Anderson. He actually went to the Texans, but I'm not sure he's going to be playing. He might have been cut. Yeah, Stingley. Sure. He's on the Texans. Tear Tart.
I just can't get over you being obsessed with Deshaun Watson and Joe Mixon. It's just so.
It's not.
I'm not obsessed with Joe Mixon at all. I'm just saying.
I believe in second chances. What can I say?
No. Grace is a powerful thing. I'm not saying that though. As far as Joe Mixon, I'm just saying that it's a situation where he's going to be like thrown into from another good offense to another good offense, from one good offense to another good offense.
Yeah. I think from that environment standpoint, it's a pretty lateral move, but I mean, getting a seventh round pick back tells you about all you need to know about how the Bengals value him.
Yeah. I mean, running backs don't matter. That's the thing. All right. Saving the best for possibly last, Derrick Henry on the Ravens is going to be fun, right? To see Lamar.
I've got a small fear of this being Emmett Smith being an Arizona Cardinal, Hakeem Olajuwon being a Toronto Raptor. You know, there definitely is. He's 30 years old. He's had the foot injury twice. I think there's a little bit more downside risk than we are pricing in at this time.
He didn't. I mean, there's not a big price on him right now, right?
Yeah, he's like a fourth round pick, or later than that. He's a fifth round pick right now. I mean, he has to move up. 54.7.
Yes,
he's got to move up at least a round.
He'll be a third round pick.
I agree. I think he'll be like a mid to late third when we settle, because it's not hard to be like what Gus Edwards, who can't do anything, scored 13 touchdowns in this offense last year.
15.
13 rushing. He had a couple of passing. And then you got J.K. Dobbins. We still don't know what the hell's happening with him, free agent. Keaton Mitchell coming back from a severe injury. This offense is going to be good. And Derrick Henry was actually pretty good last year from like evaded tackles, broken tackles, all of that stuff at 29.
Reach.
So I don't, it's hard for me to pour cold water on this ADP. Like, we can start having that conversation if he, you know, goes parabolic into the second round or whatever, but seems fine.
And here's the fun thing about some of these teams is that, like, we still have so many good wide receivers out there that it could be really fun. I'm looking forward
in the draft?
Yeah, definitely not. I think Ridley might be the only like wide receiver not signed, and he just might re-sign with the Jags.
The rumor is he's going to the Patriots, which would just be so funny.
I think if he was going to the Patriots, it already would have been done. He's going back to the Jags and saving them a round of a draft pick.
Mm. Boots on the ground. Why? What are the Patriots doing?
Just vibes, dude. Just vibes, brother.
Peter.
Well, it seems like they're getting Drake May at this point, right? Is that what you guys like with the Mariota signing? Doesn't that feel like we want a quasi running quarterback to back up?
If Jaden Daniels goes ahead of Drake May, I just am gonna like so many of my priors and thoughts about
I thought Mariota signed with the
Commies,
the Commanders, yes. Meaning he would be a better fit to back up Daniels than May.
Right.
Which
would indicate May could fly slide.
I hate it. I like actually hate it. I think it's so stupid. You have to watch Drake May for about 47 seconds to be like, I see exactly how this guy wins a Super Bowl. Like just exactly how it works.
And it's not New England.
It's not New England. No, it's about the last place. Whereas you watch Jaden Daniels and you're like, oh, I know how this works in New England. Like you just completely get it. It's Cam Newton, but good. Like,
exactly.
Like,
yeah. So I mean, the Patriots, they absolutely have to draft a wide receiver. What they should really do, it would be the greatest national television. What if the Patriots, they just said, they pulled up random.org. And they put the top five best wide receivers available based by like aggregated mock draft data. And they just spun the wheel and whichever one popped up in the second round, they selected that wide receiver. It would be incredible television. It would be better than whatever they would do on their own. you know they're just itching to draft some wide receiver we've never heard of in the second round.
they're the team that takes Ricky Pearsall ahead of like Devontae Walker. Like that's how it goes. Yeah.
That would be the most Patriots thing. They like trade back, take Joe Alt, pick up like a late first and use that to overdraft Ricky Pearsall. That's no. If Belichick was still in the building.
Okay. The most who's the quarterback 8 in this class? who's after Rattler?
Dude, you're beyond my pay grade at this point.
Michael Pratt. So they end up taking Michael Pratt out of Tulane in the third round, and that's who starts for them. Like they skip Nix, they skip Penix, and they do Michael Pratt.
AJT says Xavier Leggett to the Pats in the second. Have you guys heard Xavier Leggett give an interview?
No. What's he like?
Oh, it's amazing.
Is he a dog? I'm gonna
post this in the chat, so if you can pull it up. He seems like I don't know if New England would be his destination. It seems like he would be a Titan wide receivers. Sosa, are you there? Can you pull it up?
Have you seen Traylon around?
No.
Oh my god, I'm listening to it.
Okay. That's great. All right, play it. See.
What would you say are the best parts of your game that help you get into the end zone so often?
Oh, man, I'd say the deep ball, man. But I really feel like any way that I get the ball in my hand, I could get it to that end zone.
Yeah, he's a dog.
Whether you're taking a pitch or catching a short pass.
How did he not end up at Georgia? How did he end up at South Carolina?
I mean, South Carolina is pretty close to Georgia. You can't,
when I think of that much of a Southern accent, I think you got to be Georgia. I don't think South Carolina is South enough for that.
Yeah, someone said next Randy Moss. That actually could be a thing. Randy Moss also sure. Very country. All right, we want to wrap this puppy up. You got anything else you want to talk about?
You looking to get out of here, kitchen? You got a heart out?
No, I mean spring break over here.
We haven't even talked. There's plenty of stuff we haven't talked about.
Dave. Like what?
Kitchen, what's your take on Gabriel Davis on the Jags?
Gabe Davis to the Jags.
I mean, I don't really have a take other than like I'm glad the Titans didn't sign him. Like, I'm glad my team did not sign Gabe Davis. I'm sure he'll be fine, but it's just he wasn't going to be worth whatever someone's going to pay for him.
Let me ask you this, Davis. I saw some real time fist pumping about Darnell Mooney to Atlanta. It's like.
To okay. Falcons, yeah.
Like Kate or to the Falcons? Isn't it just KJ Osborne, like 2.0 with Kirk?
What was the fist pumping? Falcons?
Yeah, like he's going to have a breakout year. He's finally as a quarterback, all this kind of stuff. Like he's
Did
now
he have a breakout year 3 years ago or 2 years ago?
Yeah, that's the thing is people are enamored with Darnell Mooney from that one season in Chicago where there was no one else on the team, 2021. It was the Fields-Dalton year. Where he had like that 19, remember he had like that 19 target game on Thanksgiving, but his teammates were Allen Robinson, Marquise Goodwin, Demir Byrd, Jimmy Graham, Jakeem Grant, and Daz Newsome. Like there was absolutely no one on the team. He registered 140 targets with a Deontay Johnson. Actually, I was about to say Deontay Johnson-esque, but 7.5 yards per target is like what Deontay Johnson like aspires to be. I think Mooney is probably fine. People wanted him to play for the Chiefs. People were hoping that he would sign with the Chiefs, and I was not interested in that. I mean, that just felt like of all the scaling redo, especially with if you're going to sign a skinny guy, you'd much rather be Hollywood Brown. But the Falcons needed something because the Falcons wide receiver depth chart. Behind
no, bad.
Drake London, it was like you can't go into a season with Josh Ali, Austin Mack, and Chris Blair as your wide receivers. Like it was just such a mess.
Yeah, they'll. I mean, there are a lot of teams out there that are gonna be targeting wide receivers. They're probably one of them because
breaking news: wide receiver is a position of need in the National Football League.
The Gabe Davis thing is really weird, though. It makes like no sense. It's for the Jags.
They also signed Mac Jones as a backup. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like
as like a rental, right? With how his contract isn't it a 1 year rental kind of thing?
Yeah.
For Dave, what did you make a Mac Jones to the Jaguars? You think there's a QB competition there, or what are you thinking?
No, I think it's the end of Mac Jones, is what I think.
All right, here's a question. Who has a better chance to be starting week one? Sam Darnold or Gardner Minshew?
Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
Is he like fighting with Aiden O'Connell? Unless they draft a quarterback, I guess.
Unless Justin Fields reunites with Luke Getsy. Oh. That's the new rumor. The new rumor, because if you start to play music, we're playing musical chairs at quarterback right now, and the number of chairs for Justin Fields to sit down in is kind of down to like the Seahawks and the Raiders right now is really what happened
to Lamar Jackson. All the chairs were removed until he just had to go back to Baltimore.
You know, I mean, really, it's so crazy to say it, but Justin Fields is having the Trey Lance experience from last offseason where they're just it's all over. Chris Diaz asking the chat, do I think Curtis Samuel to Kansas City rumors are realistic? Yeah, I expect that to be the move.
He's fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I expect that probably to be the guy that they signed. And I think they want A.D. Mitchell at 32. I don't know if they'll get A.D. Mitchell at 32. They might have to trade up or they might have to take Troy Franklin. I don't think they like Troy Franklin again going to the too skinny thing. They might be a team that overdrafts Xavier Legette. They might out-Patriots the Patriots.
Can we get the next player athlete podcast? You get Xavier Legette in his deep Southern drawl with Patrick Kermit Mahomes.
Imagine those two guys talking to each other. Yeah, yeah.
We didn't talk about Austin Eckler, I guess. Like,
yeah,
cheap contract. Yeah, man. I think he's like,
he was such a victim of poor timing. Like every time his contract went up, it was coming at a bad time for either the Chargers cap or like whatever. The holdout didn't work all that well. Yeah, it's a bummer because obviously he's a great dude. You know, he does the show with Harmon, one our friend Pat Crane. $2 million. Like he's an awesome guy, and I feel bad for him that he's not going to maximize value extraction from his time in the NFL.
Hey, he's got fantasy though. After his career is over, he's got some fantasy chops.
Sure. For fantasy football this year, it's like a lose-lose for both him and Brian Robinson, right? Because Brian Robinson lose some of those screen passes and checkdowns that he was stealing from Antonio Gibson because the coaching staff never liked him. Like, Eckler's going to get on the field. Like, he's going to be used on third downs. So I think it caps, like, Brian Robinson's true upside, and then Eckler is – I mean, I'm sure he'll get a couple goal line carries just the way they'll leave him on the field at times, but he's going to be competing with Brian Robinson in a way that I think – I don't know, but, like – if you think about it from a zero RB thing, almost like some of the old Seahawks stuff or whatever, they're both going to have really nice contingent value if the other gets hurt, because the coach will trust whichever one's left standing to kind of just be the lead back. You know, it's not like you're going to get some rando coming in there. Sorry, Chris Rodriguez, you know, stealing a huge chunk if one of those guys goes down. I think you'll see like a near bell cow. So I think that's kind of intriguing.
Yeah. All right. I did want to say one thing about Robinson. Just weirdly, I believe he was fourth best in the NFL in yards per route run at running back, which is just so funny thinking about the style of play.
Sam Howell experience.
Yeah.
Okay, let's end on this. You have Jonnu Smith going to Miami.
Totally.
Which means I think Atlanta signed some rando tight end, not fantasy relevant, which means
they already did. Charlie Werner.
That's what I'm saying. That's the guy. I couldn't think of his name. But you've got Kyle Pitts now with Kirk Cousins, with a new offensive coordinator. Where's Pitts going?
He's the eighth tight end right now. It's right about 85th overall.
He's up to seven. Correctly. He flipped Bowers.
Yeah, there you go. He's going ahead of Brock Bowers now.
So kind of similar to where he was going last year.
Yes. Yeah. As Chris Diaz says in the chat, we are so fucking back. we're back like we never left.
Here's my thing at that ADP. I think you still got to take George Kittle ahead of him. We know George Kittle is actually very good.
Do you?
I think
know
so.
If you do, man.
Well, all right. Let's not.
I guess it depends on how you're playing.
That was the first part to the take. The second part of the take is it's batshit crazy to take Dalton Kincaid ahead of Kyle Pitts.
Oh,
that's Dalton, part of the take.
Yeah. I mean, what has Dalton Kincaid ever done, brother? Dalton Kincaid
got on the bad end of a timeshare with Dawson Knox.
And there was maybe a chance Knox was going to get cut this offseason. Instead, he renegotiated to stay on a smaller deal. So, like, I might be ready to call Jover already on the Dalton Kincaid tight end one experience.
If you want to draft a tight end in a timeshare, just take Cole Kmet 10 rounds later.
If you want to draft a tight end in a timeshare, take Tucker Kraft at tight end 28. I mean, what is Tucker Kraft? Okay, this is a good
Cole
one.
Cole Kmet's with Gerald Everett now.
Chess Liam is typing.
91 targets, 91 targets for Kincaid last year. Now, be fair to him, 7.4 yards per target. Luke Musgrave last season, 46 targets, but ended up with almost 8 yards per target. Like, it's just, I don't know. I'll take Kincaid a little bit here and there just because structurally he falls in a nice part of the draft in terms of the big board stuff, but there's no chance we get to August and he's going tight end 5, right? Like, actually no chance he's going tight end 5 in August.
I think he should be in that Evan Ingram Njoku tier.
Yeah. Because they're going to draft a wide receiver and their projections are going to look so different. Once Keon Coleman or whoever is a Bill, it's all going to look so much different.
Okay. Final thoughts.
Where is Treylon Burks? What's his offseason routine? Because we've gotten the Rashad Bateman, false flag pump. We're pretty soon, we're going to start getting all this stuff.
I think Treylon's, they're going to draft a wide receiver or they're going to trade for T. Higgins. I think Treylon's in wide receiver 3 territory.
Yeah. My true final thought is show me in the Constitution where it says the quarterback of the New York Jets can't be the vice president.
That's good. That's good, David. All right, Peter.
Yeah, I was got set up on stathead.com with a new account and just discovered that Deontay Johnson is in fact the worst wide receiver since 1913 when Don Hudson was credited as the first star split end in NFL history and considered by many to be the first modern receiver. Tough scenes for Deontay Johnson. Goes back right. 4 score and a couple more.
More than 4 score. 5 score even.
Okay, well, I think this was a fun show. Shout out to Sosa for producing. Lots of topics. We really covered it all. Had a little game, a little running back game, which Davis unfortunately lost. But good show. And in 2 weeks, we're going to be back with another good show. So make sure you're give us your take in the comment section, like, subscribe, and we'll see you in a few weeks. It's been fun. And we're going to do it again. March 27th. We'll be back. Put it in your calendar. Later. Peace.